Well, Done With Debt is a consumer advocate firm specializing in debt relief strategies. I have asked Michael Pearson to join me to share his strategies and advice for people that want to end their debt permanently. Hi, Michael.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. So talk to us about credit card and loan interest rates have skyrocketed. How does this affect most Americans? Because we're all dealing with this.
Well, that's a great question. It's tough because it affects all Americans here. One thing that we always notice is that we can't control the interest rate. So your debt keeps building faster and faster. It's getting bigger and bigger. And what was once a manageable situation is now unmanageable. And with inflation going crazy, with just groceries, gasoline, rents, all the basic necessities, at some point something has to break and you realize that you're not going to get out of this debt maybe in years, sometimes decades. So it's tough.
Yeah. So a lot of people look to either get a loan or declare bankruptcy, but that can actually make it worse. I struggle with insomnia, Michael. I don't know if you do, because I know a lot of people, you go to bed waking thinking about your debt, you wake up thinking about it, or whatever your problems are. What's your advice for someone struggling with debt in general?
Go to donewithdebt.com, answer 3 to 4 questions, get in contact with us before you even make your next payment to that credit card. Before you call the creditors yourself, give us a call. There is hope. We will help you. Simply go to donewithdebt.com, fill out a couple questions. We'll have one of our experts call you right away. It's free at no cost to you. We don't charge anything until we start settling your debts. So what do you have to lose?
There you go. Easy peasy. That's a complex financial term that I hope you understand. Go to donewithdebt.com. That is donewithdebt.com. Michael, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, right there. Yeah. Oh, God, it's been such a good week. Yeah. Oh, God, COVID relief. Oh, God, I needed some COVID relief. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, I want to kiss and fucking date and marry everyone in America. If we played that game right now, date, kill, marry, it's just everything. Everything, everybody. Well, I want to kill everyone.
Fuck in there, too.
Well, okay. Just saying, right?
They kill fuck, I think.
Something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love everybody that had anything to do with COVID relief. It's just, Biden's speech. It was right. Merrick Garland, justice along with me is coming. Oh, yeah. Oh, God, right there. Yeah, justice. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Dear. Do you want to marry Biden's speech?
Yes, I want to fuck it and kiss it and marry it. I want to kiss and fuck justice and the Statue of Liberty. Okay, you know what? I've been locked up for quite a while for COVID. And so,
too long.
You know what? Okay, Sexy Liberal 10-year anniversary special just went on sale. And so in its honor, Margaret Cho is in that. And then she is this week's happy hour as well. The woman, the myth, the legend, Margaret Cho. And then, of course, the woman, the myth, the legend of Chicago, the rockin' representative from the great city of Illinois, Representative Jan Schakowsky. Enjoy happy hour, motherfuckers. Oh, I still get, I'm just as nervous as the first time. Oh, okay. Grammy, Emmy, and Golden Globe nominated. Most recently for the animated movie Over the Moon, available on Netflix, that was just nominated this past week for a Golden Globe. The woman, the myth, the legend. Yay. Rockstar cheers, please. Margaret Cho joins us now.
Hi, thank you.
I'm not done yet. Rolling Stone calls her one of the best 50 best stand-up comics of all time, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Thank you, Rolling Stone.
Yes.
Hi, precious pumpkin. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
I was talking about being backstage with you. I don't know if it was in Chicago or LA, but just being right up in your face going, I can't believe I get to share a stage with you. I can't believe I get to work with you. Do you remember that?
Yeah, we had a good time. Chicago was great. Yeah. And it was just so weird. I mean, it's like, to think about live comedy, it's really a lost, forgotten dream. I wanted to do that again.
I know. Oh, my God. Yeah. Remember in L.A.? Remember in L.A., you and me and Rob Reiner and Adam Schiff and Ted Lieu? And it just,
I know. Feels it was so exciting.
Feels like 1,000 years ago. Well, this was past Sunday. They were talking about your Golden Globe nomination. And then there you are. You pop up on MSNBC and you were great talking about just these disgusting attacks on Asian Americans that and Donald Trump just said it again at CPAC. I call it the China flu.
Well, he doesn't have very many jokes. Like, he just keeps on harping on that. But it's like, you know, the long history of racism against Asian Americans, whether it's the building of the Transatlantic Railroad, which killed about 20,000 at least Chinese workers working on the railroad, and then, you know, all of the instances of lynching and everything, it's really a chapter that hasn't even been written yet in
you
American
are saying,
history.
You're
we
such,
haven't talked about it.
You're saying such serious things, but your dog is clearly losing its over the anti-Asian attacks.
There is a squirrel outside and racism. So she is really angry about both. I mean, that's how it is.
Margaret, as she does, is making the most like searing, smart social commentary.
I know. It's very loud. She loves to bark during any kind of social media. She hates anything that mommy is not looking right at her for.
Yes, apparently your attention is divided now. But anyway, I don't even know what to say about. I can barely watch these horrible attacks that just and generally
it's
against
horrible.
Really elderly Asian people that are being shoved to their death by. And I mean, I blame Donald Trump for everything because he is mostly to blame. But I know anti-Asian discrimination is not new. But don't you think that has a lot to do with it? The China virus and Kung Flu and all this.
Absolutely. Because it's a slow process of dehumanization. And when you can dehumanize an entire group of people that, you know, that are somewhat like they're storied. There's like a lot of talk about how we are wealthy. We're the crazy rich Asians or we're the Bling Empire. And then there's these people who are losing their jobs, who are very frustrated about that, who are feeling financial insecurity. They're feeling food insecurity sometimes. So you have this fear that turns into rage that has to be let out somewhere. So they're attacking the most vulnerable, which is very sad. Older Asian Americans who have to also deal with the compounding effects of PTSD from wars in their home countries. I know my family deals with a lot of that. And so it's a very sad situation.
Yeah. Can I just say, you keep reinventing yourself so many times, I can't keep track. The Masked Singer was, of course, a huge hit. But can I just tell you?
That was fun, yeah. It was so fun.
I have insomnia, and so I just need various movies in the middle of the night. And I landed on Friendsgiving, the indie comedy that
Yes.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
That was so cool with Wanda and Fortune and
yes.
Kat. I was so excited to do that. That was really fun.
Two sexy liberals in it, you and Aisha Tyler. And Aisha Tyler gets high on mushrooms and makes out with a woman. I was like, why doesn't this happen to me on Sexy Liberal Tour? Where
I know.
That Margaret Cho appears as an angel while I'm sleeping and then Aisha Tyler makes out with me. Why does that not happen to me?
Oh, it's beautiful.
Well, listen, you know, you've obviously been taught, you've been political, I mean, since forever, but you just tweeted about what we just talked about. You said Republicans will stop at nothing to suppress voters, but we're fighting back and demanding Congress expand voting rights. The Senate must pass for the people. And Margaret, I keep saying, I don't think anything else matters if they don't. We're not going to get anything else done if they succeed in suppressing the vote the way they're trying to, do you think?
I know. And they acknowledge that they've been trying to suppress the vote. They know that this is their main way that they've won every time is voter suppression. And so they're very out in the open about what they've been doing. And that's really disgusting, too. It really shows the capacity and depth of white privilege, wealth privilege, conservatism privilege. You know, it's a really crazy thing. Like, if you think they're okay about it, that's right.
It's all about racism, in my opinion. Electoral college, the filibuster, the amount, you know, of voter suppression. And I was laughing. They always come down on the side of racism. So there's this big Oprah interview with Meghan and Harry last night, and all the right wingers are like, "Oh, Meghan and Harry are so woke. They want to cancel the royal family." It's like, right. Well, first of all, America's founded on canceling the royal family. But secondly, you know, if being woke is not being an effing racist, then yeah, okay. I mean, it's just, I can't believe they're defending the royal family against being racist.
I know. I'm so amazed at Meghan Markle. Like, the fact that she had to deal with all that she dealt with, and then to not be destroyed by that. You know, we have no understanding. Like, there's trolling, and then there's, like, royal trolling. Like, that's, like, really intense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because the monarchy is this, it's a very strange institution that is incredibly racist, and yet they're not even allowed, we're not even allowed to broach it, you know, and they need to get a wake up now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and we were saying, it just so reminded you of what happened to Diana. You're like, wow, they've learned nothing, right?
Yeah, they haven't. I mean, it's really sickening. And also for a woman, you know, for the queen to do that to another woman, you know, especially we are at International Women's Day, which I'm very angry about, too. Because why is it a day?
That's all we get.
That's
we get a day.
Not cool. We get a day. Not cool. I mean, we should celebrate ourselves every day.
Yeah. Well, but also, it reminded me, any woman, you know, including you, of course, can relate to what she was talking about being a woman in the public eye under that pressure. I remember talking about your stories of making American Girl, about the sitcom and the pressure uniquely
so
that
hard.
Women and women of color particularly find themselves in, right?
Because there's excitement around when the unseen, previously unseen, becomes seen. So, but when you're like entering into the atmosphere, you burn up. It's basically the law of physics and how all of this works. You just burn up because it's just part of that emergence. And Meghan Markle, again, landmark first person of color who's actually in the royal family. And that's really hard for them to take. And so the casual racism of saying something like, is he too dark to be prince? That's really sickening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and you've spoken, I mean, this is why you're such a shero to so many people, because you've been so like raw and honest about your struggles and your pain. And I mean, her talking about her depression and wanting to commit suicide and them saying, no, that wouldn't look good. You can't go get help. Right. I mean, I think that, you know, this is what I always loved about you, is I was like, God, they cannot kill Margaret Cho's funny. They can do everything to her, but you just keep reinventing yourself. Where do you find the strength? I mean, that's the one thing I took for this. Wow, she's strong. She got through all this. How did you do it?
I know. It's important to note that other people's opinions are just opinions. And I think that that's really the main thing, is that you can't be, sort of live or die by the way people think, especially people who don't know you and know you personally and know who you are and what your heart is about, you know? So that's a very important lesson that's taken me, you know, 50 years to figure out. But ultimately, I think it's so beautiful that people like Meghan Markle are out there talking to Oprah. And, you know, and Prince Harry's great too, but this is really Meghan's moment. Like, I think this is really special. She went through so much, and I feel like this is integral to her healing.
Well, and I think I'm hoping that, you know, she saved a lot of people that heard her say that thing about suicide, that said, if I knew that if I didn't say it, I would do it, you know, and just having the courage to say it out loud, knowing, you know, that would freak Harry out with all the loss he's been through, you know, but it's... But I just feel like that's what you've done your whole life and career, is just empowered other people by speaking your truth and being so fearless about it.
Yes.
That wasn't a question. Really, it was an homage.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's really important to speak the truth. And it's important to, I mean, you know what's so weird is, like, how come Megan gets all the vitriol of this family and not Andrew? Andrew, yeah. Who's
yes.
a for real pedophile with for real photographs with for real Jeffrey Epstein on the Lolita Express. But, you know, he's just kind of excised very quietly
yeah.
from the royal family. And so this is really important that Meghan Markle is able to step out and say all this about
yeah.
what happened and what she's been through.
Yeah. Well, to talk about the double standard for women. The palace is probably yeah. relieved, right? They're like, oh, thank God. Thank God. The heat is off Andrew.
I know. It's like, but the heat is like for totally different reasons. For her, it's for not being white. I mean, right. that's it, right. really.
Yeah.
And it's really, for him, it's just, he had to do so many things.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's just disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah. So this, the COVID relief bill is a big, you know, deal, as Joe Biden would say, huh? I mean, it just, doesn't it feel hard to process actual hope now? We're like, oh my God, we're going to have enough vaccine by May. We're like getting
yeah.
help to the American people. It just, it, doesn't it feel finally like, I'm not going to know how to, I mean, I wasn't good, as you know, at communicating with humans in person before this, but I don't, it's just, we're all going to need counseling coming out of this, aren't we? I mean,
I think so. I think so. I think, but what's good about it is that it is a collective experience and that everybody has endured it in their own special ways. And I feel like really hopeful that this will change just for the better. You know, and I feel like a society has to change for the better.
I feel like yeah. your lockdown has consisted of having very long, angry conversations with your small yippy dog about various social issues.
Well, we get real angry about putting rice in the bird feeder, people throwing rice at weddings because it explodes in birds' stomachs. So we really talk a lot about birds. Well, she also doesn't like birds or squirrels, but she does side with the birds when it comes to rice in a wedding.
Okay.
Thank you for your 10th anniversary. You get the award for the fastest anyone sent me back a appearance for the 10th anniversary Sexy
Liberal.
Oh, you,
good. I'm like, well, I can't believe it's been 10 years. It's so fast.
I know. But I'm like, Margaret Cho is a goddess, yeah. a legend. She's busy. I was like, oh, that's faster than you get Chinese food in New York. Oh, is that racist? Wait
yeah.
a minute.
No,
you're Korean.
No,
you're Korean.
Actually, I'm Chinese. You know, I'm Chinese, and I'm related to Lisa Ling. This is what we discovered the other day.
Oh, my God.
Really? Wait, what?
Ancestry.com Lisa Ling, is amazing.
It's really Ancestry.com. No, Lisa Ling and I did, we were on Clubhouse. So weird. I don't understand. I'm like, is this like Friendster? Clubhouse is a very, I don't understand app, but Lisa Ling and I were on there
wow.
talking. And she told me that we were related.
Wow. Huh. What did your mom think about that?
Okay.
Here's radio DJ trying to set Margaret.
No. Because Lisa Ling's Chinese, but I'm actually 100% Chinese, which is the other thing that my mother does not accept. Because that means she's 100% Chinese.
Right.
Yeah.
I like that was wow. every DJ for the last 30 years trying to get Margaret Cho to do her mother in a clumsy, ham-handed way. What would your mom say about that, Margaret?
No. Like a long, like a no, like it's like through like a sail, like a horn, like a no, like an ocean organ. It's like a whale kind of through a blowhole.
Yeah.
Like
a
no.
I am going to clamp myself on your head like a koala when this COVID thing is over.
Oh, yes. That'd be wonderful.
You are a hero, a warrior for women, for people of color, for LGBTQ people. You remember you're part of my coming out story because I told you the night before I came out on
yeah.
the radio that I was going to come out. And in the morning,
really?
In the morning, I think it was Shelley Wright said to me, oh, God, are you sure? Don't you have a strategy with your people? I'm like, A, I don't have people. And B, it's too late. I already told Margaret Cho. I'm like, telegraph, tell
fantastic.
Margaret Cho. I mean, it's over. I can't
fantastic.
Take it back now.
Yes. I love it.
All right. I love you. And I can't wait to see you in person.
I love you.
All right. Bye.
Can't wait.
Bye, sweetheart.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Margaret.
Bye, you and your little yappy dog. Oh, God. I love her so much. I can't stand it. I love her so much. Okay. Oh, she's still here. She's still listening. Okay. You know, some happy hours you really don't want to clean up. I want it filthier and filthier. Okay. I love our ritual. Yeah. I love it. Okay, but the newdealshop.com, because we are in the final sprint, man. Don't wait.
Yes,
we keep saying about COVID, don't stop running because you see the finish line. Yeah. The newdealshop.com. Get your KN95 mask. Get your, we have the blue disposables. If you double mask, we have the FDA authorized KN95s, the real deal. We got it. We have variants out there, right? It is too early to let up and to stop masking. Go to the newdealshop.com. Get your KN95s. Get your regular mask. Get your aloe vera, lavender hand sanitizer. Get your Clean Phone Pro, Clean Phone Wand, that UV light. If you're not using UV light, I mean, and it doesn't go in the body, like some orange a-hole said. It goes, you zap your phone and all of your packages and, you know, your remotes and your earphones and you
your keyboards. Your keyboards get gross.
Car keys, anything. The CleanPhone wand is portable, goes with you. The CleanPhone Pro, you can charge and disinfect your phone and all your other small objects. Get it all at thenewdealshop.com. That is thenewdealshop.com. Now, back to the show. The pro Major Biden caucus here, which includes me and my equally ill-trained beast, Jamie. All right, Jamie's very excited. You know why? Because it's time for the rocking congresswoman from the great state of who also has a small ill-trained dog. Representative Jan Schakowsky of the great state of Illinois joins us now. Hello, good morning, Representative.
Oh, good morning, Stephanie. Thanks for having me again. I appreciate it.
I already love you. And now I want to kiss you and hug you and squeeze you over the COVID relief bill, because it really is, as Joe Biden would say, a BFD, right? I mean, it is the biggest progressive piece of legislation maybe ever, right?
Well, they're saying maybe since the days of Lyndon B. Johnson, when so many of our fundamental bills were actually signed into law, but that's a long time ago. Generations have passed since then, and I'm so excited and so proud. And let's remember, he's only been president for like a month and a half. It's just remarkable.
That's Operation Warp Speed. Yeah.
It is.
I mean, honestly, the number of vaccinations, I think the amount of hope people are finally feeling. I mean, and also just the contrast, you said while the GOP leader was reading Dr. Seuss, Democrats passed a $1.9 trillion stimulus bill that will cut child poverty in half and deliver urgently needed relief. It's sort of extraordinary that not one Republican voted for a bill that has, you know, in a pandemic that has killed 25,000 Americans?
No more than that, I think. Yeah. You know. Isn't it the politics of it just completely eludes me? I don't understand. The only place where it's a partisan issue is in the Congress itself, because out in the world, in our world, 75%, sometimes more in polling, want this bill, need this bill, appreciate it. And it's really a sea change in the interpretation of what government means. I think we have passed a point where, you know, government is the problem, not the solution. People are looking to government now, and they're gonna get it. Joe Biden said, help is on the way, and it's coming.
Yeah.
We're gonna vote on this. It's gonna be great.
Yes. I feel like we're in the middle of watching my dad's party, I mean, a major party in America, just commit suicide. This bill has 83%, I believe, last poll I saw, public approval rating. They're hanging on to Donald Trump, who helped them lose the White House, the House, and the Senate, who is actively telling people to send money to me, not to the Republican Party. I mean, what do you make of what's happened to your Republican colleagues?
Well, I mean, how do they go home and they say, well, yes, I voted against sending you that check. I voted against extending unemployment insurance. No, your kids are not going to get that tax credit that's going to alleviate poverty. And we don't want to put food on your table.
Yeah.
And so we voted no. I mean, I don't know what the message can possibly be.
Well, and as you tweeted, Representative, you said, as Americans suffer and demand relief and systemic change, Republicans across the country have united to suppress the vote. It's disgusting. We must pass the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. I keep saying, I don't think anything else matters unless we pass that, because these bills are just, they've dropped any pretense of voter fraud. They are just absolutely trying to cut the amount of people that can vote. Right, cutting early voting, trying to get away with, vote by mail. I can't even keep up with all the techniques. Right.
So in Georgia, they thought, that Sunday voting, where Black people have souls to the polls, that lets them vote more. That brings out the vote more. So let's just get rid of Sunday voting. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so blatant. The racism, it's just shocking, really. They don't care, though. They're shameless. They're totally shameless. Yeah. They do what they think they have to do to pick their own voters, to limit people's right to vote. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and speaking of racism, you also tweeted today, the U.S. House of Representatives said Black Lives Matter. We passed the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act of 2021. I am wearing my I Can't Breathe shirt. Obviously, the Derek Chauvin trial is going on, and it seems like it's so obvious why we need that. And to me, Representative, correct me if I'm wrong, police should be happy about this. I mean, police don't want to have to do all of their jobs. They're not equipped for. They're not, social workers. They're not mental health counselors. They're not drug addiction, specialists. Right?
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. I mean, this is going to make our country so much better. But, since George Floyd was killed, before the murder was right in front of our eyes, 8 minutes and 46 seconds, we watched in horror. There's been a lot of incidents since then. Our young poet laureate was tracked to her door by security. Yeah. They thought she looked suspicious. Really? I mean, it goes on and on, the targeting of people of color. And we can't have that anymore. People are ready for this this change to make police the more accountable. And as you said, they don't have to do all the things that they are sent out to do armed. And dangerous themselves. So
yeah,
I would hope that law enforcement would understand and support getting some of the bad apples, people who are quick on the trigger, who are known racists, that they should not want those people in their force.
Yeah. Well, let's again go back to H.R. 1, though, the Voting Rights Act, because again, I don't feel like we're going to get any of our other stuff done if we can't figure this out. What do you think the path is for H.R. 1? I know now on Bloody Sunday anniversary, Biden signed the executive order directing the sprawling apparatus of the federal government to promote voting rights. It's an executive order which mostly focuses on promoting voter registration, making election information more accessible. But there's only so much the president can do, right, with an executive order. He said every eligible voter should be able to vote and have it counted. If you have the best ideas, you have nothing to hide. Let more people vote. Well, Republicans, as you said, Representative, are doing the diametrically the opposite of that. They are trying to get the least amount of people able to vote possible. What's the path for all this?
So I think the path has to do with the filibuster.
Yeah.
And there is a robust discussion right now. The fact that you need 60 votes to pass a bill in the Senate is probably one of the most undemocratic, small d, procedures that we could possibly have. The Senate itself, in many ways, if you look at it, is not really all that democratic when you have two senators from Utah and two senators from California. It's not exactly even Steven here. But the filibuster is now being robustly debated, including Joe Manchin is talking about ways that we might be able to limit that. Otherwise, that kind of much needed bill is going to have a hell of a time in the Senate to get passed.
Is that the bell that you have to go vote for something, or are we at the third floor of lingerie? What's happening?
It must be on your end.
Oh, okay. All right.
Here.
I thought that was like ding, 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 trying to go save democracy, Jan Schakowsky. Ding, 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 ding. Okay. talk to us about vaccine apartheid. Because, I know you've been working to make sure poorer nations also have access to the vaccines that wealthier nations are able to manufacture. This is what was always wrong with the America first or America alone, is that how much more egregiously can we learn the lesson of that unless we vaccinate everybody, this is, viruses are going to continue to circulate around the entire world. Right?
This has been so frustrating. I'm so grateful to you for even bringing it up. This story has not been told. There are well over 30 countries that have not had one shot, one vaccine given. They are vulnerable. There are new deviants developing around the world. We are in danger if we don't vaccinate everyone around the world. And this is not happening. Why? Because the big pharmaceutical companies don't want to agree to a waiver that just for the pandemic time would allow countries to provide, to manufacture their own vaccines. This is about intellectual property rights. This is about, so they want to extend the discussion about this, looking for a third way, which is really a no way. We need to get this waiver to the, what is called the TRIPS agreement, but it's with the World Trade Organization, to be able to allow countries to make vaccines now, before, we're in a race against time here, because if we don't get those shots in people's arms, it gives time for these variants to
yes,
flourish all over the world. And we are a small world. It's going to come to us.
Yeah, exactly.
What it has. So I'm really, really frustrated that can't seem to get too much attention. And I attribute that to the pharmaceutical industry. I mean, watch all the shows on television, but even progressive cable, and every other ad is from a pharmaceutical company. Are rolling in money, and they don't want to lose it. It is profits over people, and we are all at risk because of it.
Well, yeah, and Representative, I think we just got a little bit of good news this morning that looks like the Pfizer vaccine is effective against the Brazilian variant?
That's what I read, yeah.
Variant, yeah. But again, it just goes to show you that we're going to keep getting variants from different places. We need to get everybody vaccinated everywhere to really crush this. I mean, otherwise, we're always going to be just racing against time. And it's so, yeah, I mean, thank you for your work on that, because I think that's going to be the next, it's the next mountain to climb even here is vaccine hesitancy, right?
Right. Yeah, I wonder if all of the members of Congress who are eligible, we're all eligible to have our shots. I bet there's some of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle that have said no. I'm not sure about that, but
yeah.
It would be interesting. These are the same people that don't want to wear masks.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's such a difference in philosophy. We were just talking about the homeless problem here in L.A. and in California, and we were talking about that. Garcetti or others can put forward good legislation, and then what happens is all the separate communities vote down having a homeless shelter in their area. And then they blame, then it's a vicious circle where they blame the politicians. But it's the same as vaccine, right? Representative, it feels like it's a we problem. If we all figure out how to address it, it's just, but if it's always someone else's problem, or whether it's America first on vaccines.
We have a name for it, NIMBY, not in my backyard.
Right.
And we like to pride ourselves on being a compassionate person, but just as long as it's not in our backyard.
Yeah. Well, this is why I got to say, just the COVID relief bill, it's such a big deal. And thank you for your part in it, because cutting childhood poverty in half is not nothing. I mean, this is really going to, and what does Bill Clinton always say? Rising tide lifts all boats. So hopefully, poverty, food insecurity, homelessness, hopefully this will help a lot of things at the same time.
We really haven't heard much from the other side about how the debt is rising a little bit. We have a new day where people believe that government can be the answer. And that's why I'm so thrilled that we're actually doing it, not just talking about it.
Yeah.
But it helps so millions and millions of people. I'm thrilled.
Congratulations. I am having a little vaccine envy, and I'm wondering if I can borrow a Jan Schakowsky wig to see if I can get a vaccine shot. I'm not proud at this point. I'll wear my official Chicago Steph Head shirt.
Okay.
Just saying.
It's better.
Can I borrow your ID to get a vaccine?
Stephanie.
Just kidding. I'm kidding.
No, but it should be getting better in your neighborhood too.
Yeah.
There's definitely more vaccines. There's more of these big staging places where they're giving, you know, hundreds and thousands and millions. Yeah.
Yep. I can't wait. And then I'm going to hug you and not let go until your security removes me like usual. But Representative, thank you as always. And we'll talk to you again soon.
I love you. Thank you.
Bye. There she goes.
Thank you.
The rockin' representative from the great state of Illinois, Representative Jan Schakowsky.